Father, we pray that what is spoken and what is heard, what we meditate on and what we seek to live out in our lives, may bring glory to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it seems it's been a week like no other, but then again, the previous week probably seemed like a week like no other as well. Pictures of war from Gaza, Lebanon, Israel and the Ukraine, heat waves and wildfires, storms and floods, they have dominated the television over the last month. And we continue to have reports of yet more senseless killings in our own towns and cities. I mean, we're absolutely amazed when we see the sort of weapons that have been handed in, weapons that young people and children are carrying with them. But when the world seems so dark and so depressing, and we feel anxious and fearful, we need to remind ourselves of where our trust and our hope is based. Who is the God we worship? And who is Jesus for us? What is the good news in the midst of all the bad news? Well, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, in the past God spoke through his prophets. He spoke through the history of his people's experience of God, the God of the covenant, a covenant relationship of love. And God spoke through the revelation of God's will and purposes, through the voices of the prophets. But now, he tells us, God has spoken through his Son. So what's special about the Son of God? Well, he tells us he's the heir of all things. He's the one through whom creation has been brought into being. He's the radiance of God's glory. He represents God exactly. You can see God in Christ. He's the one who sustains all things. And more than that, he's the one who brings a purification for our sins. He is the one who is seated in majesty, the one who is superior to the angels. These few verses in the opening of this letter to the Hebrews contains these massive theological affirmations which cover the doctrine of creation, the relationship within the Godhead of Christ to the Father, the pre-existence of Christ, the involvement of Christ in creation, the doctrine of the atonement, Christ dying for our sins, the sovereign lordship of Christ. It reads like a Christian doctrine module, the sort of thing that Lindsay might be studying. God's appointment of Jesus is before creation. This is God's eternal plan to reveal good news to the world through his Son. And by the time we reach the end of the chapter, the first chapter, we understand Christ to be God's Son, God's priest, God's creator, God's appointed from the beginning of space and time, and all of this as a result of God's divine wisdom. But why? So what? They're huge claims. What does it mean for the way in which each of us live in this world? What does it mean for how we seek to cope with what seems to be an endless list of bad news? In the past, but now. In former times, back in the past, God spoke through the prophets, but now through the Son, through the life and ministry of Jesus. When times are tough, when life is not running smoothly, people often look back to the past, the good old days when life was comfortable, or so it seems. In a Bible study some years ago, one person in our house group said that they really would like to be an Aboriginal or a North American Indian because their lives were simple. Well, it might have been simple, but I'm not so sure about that, especially when I need a doctor or a dentist. But in the Bible, we're encouraged through the prophets, such as Isaiah, not to keep looking backwards, but to look for the new thing that God is going to do. And the Son of God is superior to all things. The Son of God is that new thing. And the Son of God is superior to the angels. Angels? Why angels? What angels? Well, the Jews believed that the angels guarded the Old Testament law. They were the channels of the law. But now God's word comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the beginning of a new age, the age to come. This is the new thing that God is. You're not looking at angels anymore. You're looking at Jesus who will interpret the law, Jesus who will be a representative of all human beings, and he'll be seen crowned in glory and honor. So what is this new and superior thing that God is doing? Jesus brings fulfillment, a fuller understanding of God. He says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The Old Testament picture of God is partial, it's fragmentary, it's preparatory, it's incomplete. Today we might say the same about the ways in which people try to cope with life, taking science or sociology or common sense as their basis. But the trouble is that once we've explained the universe and its origins in terms of mathematical equations, once we have understood our own bodies in terms of genetics and the human genome, then we leave ourselves feeling a bit cold, a bit lost. We wonder if we're captive of our genes. But we actually have a God-given choice. We actually have free will. And we also have God's presence with us to transform our lives. And Jesus is the fulfillment, the completion. He makes sense of the law and reveals the true covenant relationship of love and mercy and forgiveness with God, the creator of the universe. This is not an angel standing guard over the law. This isn't an angel being a channel of how to interpret the law. But this is something new. This is a relationship of love and value and purpose. He makes sense of being human and of life in a relationship with God, a life in relationship with ourselves. How do we cope with our inner motives and passions? And how do we cope with our relationship with others? And in such an understanding, we find contentment and we find peace. Our reading from Mark gives us a picture of marriage and the value of children to God. There is a sense in which Jesus is always trying to flesh out what are the real, radical and revolutionary relationships that we have in the new covenant. So Christ reveals God to us. But so what is God like? Jesus is God's son. He is God's appointed heir. He inherits the whole of creation, and in him, Christians share that inheritance. We find our place in the universe. We enjoy the richness of creation, and we recognize our responsibility for being co-creators in God's world. Jesus is God's creative agent. He's no mere Galilean preacher. He's not some figma of a history textbook, as we might see if we watch programs like The Nativity or The Passion. They tell us a bit about the history, but they don't take us into the fact of who Jesus is as the one who makes that covenant between us and God, co-creator with God, the creator of the whole universe, and as such is worthy of our trust. A Christ whose hands shaped the universe and summoned the galaxies into being, is able to hold on to us in times of trouble and guide us in times of anxiety and confusion. And the resurrection is the key to understanding who Jesus is. I was looking just yesterday at a letter from Baptist Christians in Lebanon, talking about what they are experiencing of violence and war. But they say that where their hope lies is in the fact that behind all of this is the sovereign control and nature of God, who loves them, one they can trust. So Jesus is one with God in glory, in majesty, in power, in creation. He holds the universe in place. He proclaims exactly how we are to understand the nature of God and the world. John begins his account of the gospel by saying that this is what it's like. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. He is light and life. He also shows us the true nature of God and demonstrates in his own life God's love and God's mercy, God's desire to forgive, to accept us, to repair relationships. Just think of the healing miracles. Just think of Jesus' teaching and what we see there. And John expresses his understanding when he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you want to understand what God is like, you look at the way in which Jesus lived and taught and healed, and we see God's grace. We see the truth about the relationship that God wants with each one of us. So Jesus is God's perfect revelation. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews wants to say it's like the face on a coin. This is an engraving which tells us exactly what God is like. Jesus is like that engraving. He shows us the nature of God, meaning that he is the very essence of God, the very being of God in the world. But the writer goes on to tell us that Jesus identifies with us. He was tempted in the same way that we are, except he didn't sin. He knows what it's like to be me. He knows what it's like to be you. And our writer tells us that that's why we can approach God through Christ, because we are coming to God through someone who understands our lives and yet is also co-creator. So Jesus is the agent of creation. He's the revelation of God's glory, that perfect revelation. He's truly God and truly human, and we can say with absolute certainty in our prayers that God knows you, that God knows me in the humanity of Christ. He knows my life and understands what it means to live our lives. And that's good news. That's good news for all of us, because God in Christ knows what makes me tick, what makes me laugh, what makes me cry. And more than that, accepts me as I am, offering mercy and forgiveness. And Christ makes sense of this complex world. We inhabit a universe which is made up of billions of galaxies like our own Milky Way, one containing billions of stars like our own sun. We understand more about the complex genetic makeup of our bodies and have made enormous strides in the identification and cure of diseases. We're able to transmit and access information from all around the world in microseconds. And yet we live with the risks and fear of the unpredictable, the bad actions of self-centered human beings, individuals, and also, as we sadly see throughout our world today, the bad actions of governments. And into such a world and such experiences, this writer declares that Jesus is God's cosmic sustainer. Christ's work is to keep the planets in orbit by his word of power, but also Christ's word in salvation can do what he determines in human lives, so that we find forgiveness and we find peace. We're in danger, of course, of confining our understanding of Christ to our restricted experience and limited knowledge. We need a vision of Christ like the author of the letter to the Hebrews gives us, one that is cosmic in its dimension, a Christ who transcends all our best and most extravagant thoughts about him and all our most wonderful experiences of him. And once we begin to grasp something of this, we will recognize that Jesus Christ is someone we can trust and hang on to in this present world, with all the difficulties and adversities and all our fears and anxieties, because the future he's preparing for us is our hope. We have in Christ someone who can make sense of life. We are loved, we are valued, we have a God-given purpose, and our lives in this world and for eternity are secure in him. These verses are a clear, uncompromising declaration of the nature of Jesus Christ, Creator, Sustainer, our Saviour and risen Lord. And our call is to proclaim this unchanging gospel, this good news, because we have in Christ someone who understands us, who can make sense of our lives, and can bring us to eternal life. The good news proclaimed through this church's ministry and in the face of a violent and war-torn world. Christ, our hope. Amen.